stress, fear, depression, spiritual warfare. Are you weighted down? Do you need refreshing? Welcome. Welcome, everyone, to the Warriors for Christ podcast, where we seek to uplift, edify, and encourage you to be light and salt in a dark and tasteless world with your host, Kyle.
Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Warriors for Christ podcast. I'm Kyle.
And I'm Sam.
And we are delighted that you, our audience, are out there and getting a chance to listen to another episode today with us. Brother Sam, what has the Lord put on your heart for us to get into in this episode?
Well, Kyle, we're going to continue and we're going to look at how God's refining fire is being mistaught. And this is going to be episode. So today's episode is going to be 3B of God's refining fire. We just did 3A, which is being mistaught. And specifically what we're going to be looking at this one is a continuation of God's refining fire. God's actually a consuming fire. And what does it mean? You know, previously we looked at, the refining fire, what it means to refine and purify. And then the other aspect, which is God is a consuming fire, and both of them pretty much have the same element and the same purpose. It's to remove the wicked, to exterminate them, those that don't come into repentance. But a lot of people don't know these things because they're being mistaught. Today we're going to look at the books of Jeremiah, passage from Lamentation, and Amos. And further see what God has to say in examples with respect to his fire and how he sends it and upon who.
All right. Well, with that, I'll open us in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, today we thank you, Father. We thank you for the gift of your Spirit. We thank you for the gift of your Holy Word. We thank you, O Lord, for the act of converting us from captives and to free men. We thank you, O Father, that you care so much that you use men to do your work. And we thank you for this time together, Lord. We pray in the name of Jesus that every word that is spoken is used to speak the words that you would have spoken, to reach the hearts that you would have reached. And Father, we pray for everyone that's listening right now that their eyes and ears are open and attenuated to the word. Father, they follow along in their Bibles, that they check everything that's said and realize that the truth is exactly what we read today. Father, we pray in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. So, Kyle, we're going to be starting Jeremiah chapter 4.
Yeah.
Now, for everyone who's listening, when we go through and we read a passage here, God is speaking to a people who believed in him. God is speaking to a people who confessed him. God is speaking to a people that went before him to worship him. But God does not see their worship and their intentions the same. God views them as rebellious children, people who don't know what it means to repent. Kyle, the same way God spoke to the people here through Jeremiah, the message is no different today.
That's right.
It's the same reason why the New Testament says the entire Old Testament was written for our example.
Yep.
The churches are not preaching the truth. When I say that, obviously I'm implying all the false churches who think they're true, but are not teaching the full truth, lack power, and cannot free the people from their sins. Because their message is impartiality.
That's right.
Kyle, if you will read chapter 4, verse 1 through 4 of Jeremiah, please.
Sure. If you will return, O Israel, declares the Lord, then you should return to me. And if you will put away your detested things from my presence, and will not waver. And you will swear, as the Lord lives, in truth, in justice, and in righteousness. Then the nations will bless themselves in him, and in him they will glory. For thus says the Lord to the men of Judah and to Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground, and do not sow among thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord, and remove the foreskins of your heart, men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, or else my wrath will go forth like fire and burn with none to quench it, because of the evil of your deeds.
Kyle, it's because of sin. People have a false understanding and think that Jesus came just to die for the penalty of sin. They don't realize that Jesus came so much more than that. But he died so that we can have power, so that we can be cleansed from all sin, and now walk in light as God is light.
That's right.
To be holy as God is holy. To be imitators of the Father and imitators of the Son, just as the Son came to be an imitator and bear the glory of his Father.
Amen.
Kyle, but the problem is, people think, return? What do you mean? I'm already have a relationship with God. I already go and I serve and I worship in the presence of God.
Hard hearts.
And Kyle, this is what this people thought they did. I'll probably cover a little bit from Jeremiah chapter 7, even though I wasn't planning on it, just to point that out, that he's speaking to a people who believe in him, a people who worship. And yet God, to this message of his people, he says, no, you still need to return to me.
Mm-hmm.
To a people who are entering his house to worship, he says, no, you still have to return to me. Mm. Is that you who are listening? How do you know God wouldn't say that to you? You may think, oh, but no, you don't understand. I do believe. Oh, no, but you don't understand. I do have a relationship with God. Do you? Israel thought they did as well. Do you really? God says you need to return to him. Just as I think of the words in John chapter 3, I think it's like verse 5. It says, Jesus came in order to take away sin. In him there is no sin. No one who abides in Jesus sins. No one who sins, those who still sin, none of those have seen him or known him. Oh, little children, make sure no one deceives you. That was actually 1 John chapter 3. It was verse 6 and 7.
5 through 7, yep. The one who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous.
You know, the question is, do we practice righteousness just as Jesus is righteous? You see, Jesus' practice of righteousness
perfect
didn't include sin.
That's right.
You see, sin is of the devil.
That's right.
But Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. How can you sit there and say that you do the works of God, that you practice righteousness as Jesus is righteous, that you abide in him when you still sin, when you still do the works of the devil? Why do you continue and refuse to stop being deceived? You say, no, I want to be deceived. Let me continue to be deceived and accept the lie and defend the lie. Why do some of you do that? Now, praise God for the people who have cast that lie off. Those are the people who have received the power of God, the new heart and the new spirit, and they now live in power.
Amen.
But you who are still seeking, struggling, trying to search, wondering why it's taking so long? Because you won't admit that you serve the devil. Because you won't admit that you're an enemy of God. You refuse to accept what God plainly declares about your life. That he's given us in the examples of his word. You cannot waver. You have to put away everything from his presence. All sin is detestable in the eyes of God. You have to put it all away, and only God can do it. But you say, oh, but I swear, as Yahweh lives. Really? No, God says in verse 2, you have to swear in truth, in justice, and in righteousness. There's no sin in that, people.
That's right.
That's what it means to swear in truth.
Break up your fallow ground.
And do not sow among the thorns. See, the problem, Kyle, is their ground has not been softened.
Nope.
They still have a hard ground. They're still sowing in the thorns because the thorns and the sin haven't been cleansed out of their heart because they continue to defend and justify that you can't be freed from sin.
Amen.
And there's some of you who I have spoken to recently, and you know I'm exactly, this is a message directly to you. But not just to you, it's all the other people who are struggling with the same struggle that you're struggling with. You haven't been cleansed yet. You don't have power because you continue to hold on to the lies. Problem is, your heart isn't right. You still think that you can sow righteous deeds before God. And you don't understand He won't accept your righteousness when it's sown with thorns in your heart.
That's right.
And you don't understand that it's the sinners that God says know how to agape love other sinners and do good, but it's rejected in the sight of God. Stop thinking that because you do good in the eyes of men or in your own eyes, that you're righteous before God.
Double-minded.
No, God tells you what you need in verse 4. You still need to be circumcised by God. Your heart is not right with God, even though you may think it is. There cannot be any sin and thorns in that heart.
Amen.
And what happens, Kyle, if you don't get that circumcised heart? What is God going to pour upon the people?
His wrath will go forth like fire and burn with none to quench it.
You see, that's what's going to happen. You will experience the fire of God, but it's going to be His wrath. It's going to be to consume you.
You don't want it.
Why, you might ask?
Because of the evil deeds.
Oh, because of your evil deeds.
Because of their evil deeds.
You know, Kyle, this is really similar to Matthew chapter 7.
Yep.
You know, it's like where Jesus speaking about the people who confess Him as Lord, who serve in the church, who believe. And He rejects them because they still commit sin or iniquity. Not because they didn't confess, not because they don't serve, not because they don't worship, not because they don't, you know, say they believe in Him. No, they do all those things, but it's not acceptable, Kyle, because it doesn't meet God's standards. And people think God changes and He doesn't. They just can't admit, they just won't let go. There's something that they won't let go. And of course, Kyle, the other thing that people don't understand is what sin is. We've done episodes about sin. And, you know, really, the heart, the new heart episode, part one and part two. Mm-hmm. Part one was the New Testament passages where Jesus talked about what it is that defiles a man. Kyle, it's the thought, just the thought of sin. People say, oh, no, but if I exercise self-discipline, I don't act out the thought, that's not sin. What a lie of the devil that has promulgated the churches. Remember, we've covered that in that episode, the new heart. God requires a new heart, part one, the New Testament passages. He reiterates it here in verse 14 of Jeremiah chapter 4. What does he say?
Let me get there. I was over in Matthew. Jeremiah 4, verse
14.
14. Wash your heart from evil, O Jerusalem, that you may be saved. How long will your wicked thoughts lodge within you?
You know, and people don't understand it. Typically, the wicked thoughts, when they come up, it's when it's inconvenient. It's when you're in the fire of, you know, the trials of fire. That's when these thoughts come up. The problem is, God says, you still aren't saved. You still have an evil heart. You still have wicked thoughts that pop up.
Lodge within them.
They lodge within them, Kyle.
Yep.
And Kyle, it's because of people's ways, their deeds, and these thoughts. That is why God is going to bring all this calamity. Look at verse 18.
Your ways and your deeds have brought these things to you. This is your evil. How bitter. How it has touched your heart.
It lives in the heart, Kyle. It lives there. This is because of their fault. God is going to blame you because you didn't come to get the new heart and the new spirit that he wants to give.
Did you hear that?
You know, for all you who are listening, we did an episode maybe a couple months ago. It was about the new covenant in Christ. It comes from this book right here in Jeremiah. Listen to it. Covered in depth what the problem was, what God says, what he wants to give. But most people don't know the whole truth. They only know fractions of it. And that's why they cannot escape the life that they so desperately want to escape. They cannot find the complete holiness and the power of God that he wants to bless them with right now, today. What does he say his people are? These people think they're wise. These people think they serve God. These people think they believe in the truth. And what does God say about his people in verse 22?
For my people are foolish. They know me not. They are stupid children and have no understanding. They are shrewd to the evil, to do evil, but to do good they do not know.
Now, these are the people that he's talking about that claim that they serve the one true God. The people who go before God's building to worship him. God says his people are foolish. They're stupid. They have no understanding. The problem is they still do evil. They don't do good. And yet this people comes before God, I assure you, if you were to ask them, they would have the same excuses of the people today. Oh, but I do believe in God. Oh, but I do worship him. Oh, but I do have a relationship. Oh, but God is with me. Oh, but you don't understand. Everybody struggles with sin, but I serve God. I'm his chosen one. I'm his chosen people. It's the same stupid excuse, and yet people won't accept the words that God has reiterated then, as he still stands behind today. Even though they claim to be his people, even though they claim to have knowledge of God, even though they claim to worship him, they refuse to accept what God says about them. Because they'll only accept what they say about themselves, what their church leaders say about themselves, what their false Christian friends say about themselves. They all live in a lie and a web of deception.
Can't have good fruit and the bad fruit. Can't have bitter and sweet. So can't true. Have hot and cold. Folks, if you have not, if you don't understand that, if you've not heard that, go back and listen. It was about four episodes ago. Powerful.
So what does God do? I'll tell you what he does, Kyle. He puts his words into the mouth of the true prophets. And it will consume the people who don't accept this message. What does Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 14 say?
5, verse 14. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of hosts, because you have spoken this word, behold, I am making my words in your mouth fire, and this people would. And it will consume them.
You see, Kyle, when people don't accept the messages and the words of the true prophets and the true servants of God, the words that the true prophets speak will be as fire. And the people who refuse the message, who continue to say they believe in God, that God's wrath will not come upon them, they will be consumed.
With a fire that won't be quenched.
That's right. Everybody who's listening, wake up and listen to these words, okay? God wants you to understand. That's why he speaks such a harsh and direct message to the stubborn people. Kyle, I have never in my life met more stubborn people than all these Christians, quote Christians, who go to church, who go and serve and do good here and there. They are so stubborn and arrogant and prideful, and God's anger burns against them. Kyle, I just want their salvation.
Yep.
But when they don't want to come to salvation and they think they're going to serve God and continue to perpetuate a lie and lead other people to hell, Kyle, my spirit burns. The spirit of God in me burns against these liars who refuse to repent and think they're going to go and lead other people to the same hell that they're going.
They're just wood. They're going to be burned.
So what's the context of this, what we just read? Well, what does God say? God wants to find righteous man. He wants to find the righteous man. Jeremiah was a righteous man. He wants to see if there's others. What does he tell Jeremiah to do in chapter 5, verse 1?
Verse 1. Roam to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and look now, and take note, and seek in her open squares if you can find a man.
One!
If there is one who does justice.
In the eyes of God.
Who seeks truth.
In the eyes of God. Kyle, because if you would have gone and asked the people, they would have said, of course we do justice. Of course. Of course we seek the truth. What are you talking about? God's like, no, there's not one. There's not a single one amongst all of you.
In Jerusalem. Then I will pardon her.
But he didn't. But he didn't, because there wasn't a one.
That's right. And although they say, as the Lord lives.
Oh, you mean they claim that God live, that God live forever? They boast in God?
Surely they swear falsely.
Ah, so you who are listening, you who say you rely on the God of heaven and earth, you who trust in the God of your salvation, is he going to accuse you of swearing falsely? Is he going to accuse you that you put your hope falsely in a God that is not him? What does God look for?
O Lord, do not your eyes look for truth?
You who are listening, what truth are you listening to? Have you even found it? The words I am speaking are the words of God, and they are truth. Why do you not accept the truth? Why do you think there's so much sickness in the church? Why do you think there's no different calamities that happen on you versus the wicked of the world? Why do you get sick like everybody else?
Or your divorce rates.
Why did you get COVID like everybody else? Or run to the prescription of man? Because your God can't save you and protect you? Please, yes, I am challenging you. Why? Because you don't have the truth. That's why. What does God say he's going to do to them? He's going to treat them the same as the world.
That's right. You have smitten them, but they did not weaken. You have consumed them, but they refused to take correction. They have made their faces harder than rock. They have refused to repent.
They refuse to repent. You see, God just wants your repentance. But when you're unwilling to accept the message that God wants and has for you, well, God's fire is going to be upon you. It's not going to be any hope. You see, Jeremiah, he's like, oh, they can't help it. They're foolish. They just don't know the ways of God. What does he say about that in verse 4 and 5?
Then I said, they are only the poor. They are foolish, for they do not know the way of the Lord or the ordinance of their God. I will go to the great and will speak to them, for they know the way of the Lord.
Oh, so the leaders are going to know better. The leaders.
And the ordinances of their God. But they too, with one accord, have broken the yoke and burst the bonds.
They refuse to come under the yoke of God, the leaders. And so the people just follow them, blind leading the blind, just as Jesus warned. So what is God going to do to this people that believes in him? This people that serves him, but not in truth? What does God say he's going to do?
Therefore, a lion from the forest will slay them. A wolf of the deserts will destroy them. A leopard is watching their cities. Everyone who goes out of them will be torn in pieces, because their transgressions are many, their apostasies are numerous.
Kyle, it is sin. Sin that separates people from God.
Yep.
And people think that they can receive Jesus into their heart and then still be a sinner.
Can't have.
You see, that's the lie of the message.
That's right.
Yes, Jesus had to die.
Bad fruit.
Jesus had to die for the sin so we could come into fellowship with God. So we could then be cleansed of all sin and walk and live in righteousness. That's why it says Jesus died for your sins, people. Go read 1 Peter that's not being taught.
Not so that you can keep going on sinning.
Well, 1 Peter 2:24. Chapter 2, verse 24, it gives you it. We did a whole episode on the book of 1 Peter. It's where you find the true grace of God that you had to stand firm in. A lot of people don't know what that is, because God's truth is not being taught. Go look up that episode. The true grace of God, stand firm in it. Go look it up. See what it says. Find out what you aren't listening to. Find out what your church leaders are not teaching you because they're ignorant. They serve the devil, even though they claim to serve God. That's right, I am challenging. How can the word of God and the true grace of God not be being taught in the churches? Because your leaders don't know. That is why. Challenge them. Your life depends on it. Wake up. Wake up. Kyle, God wants to pardon. God wants to pardon. Why can't he in verse 7?
Chapter 5, verse 7.
Still in chapter 5, yes.
Why should I pardon you? Your sons have forsaken me and sworn by those who are not gods. When I had fed them to the full, they committed adultery and trooped to the harlot's house. They were well-fed, lusty horses, each one neighing after his neighbor's wife. Shall I not punish these people, declares the Lord? And on a nation such as this, shall I not avenge myself? Go up through her vine rows and destroy, but do not execute a complete destruction. Strip away her branches, for they are not the Lord's. For the house of Israel and the house of Judah have dealt very treacherously with me, declares the Lord. They have lied about the Lord and said, not he. Misfortune will not come on us, and we will not see sword or famine.
You see, Kyle, a lot of people who are listening to me, they're going to say, oh no, Sam, that message isn't for us. You're wrong. You're wrong. That is not the message. We're going to receive blessings from God. Well, the reason why you think that is because your leaders have lied to you. They have lied about Yahweh, God Almighty. They have lied. They are not speaking the full truth. God says he's going to strip away the branches because they aren't hers, his. He's going to throw them into the fire. It's the same thing that Jesus talked about.
God detests sin, people.
You know, we just read 1 John chapter 3 about Jesus came in order to take away sin.
Mm-hmm.
And no one who abides in Jesus sins. No one who sins has seen him or known him. You know, John chapter 6, or I'm sorry, not First. Chapter 6. Nope, John, the book John.
Book of John.
John, actually, chapter 15. John chapter 15 talks about abiding. You know, we just quoted some of the passages from 1 John chapter 3. We just read from Jeremiah chapter 5, starting in verse 10, that talked about the vine and the branches being stripped off to be destroyed. And you say, well, why would it be? You see, Kyle, Jesus is the true vine.
That's right.
And the Father is the vine dresser.
That's right, verse 1.
So you can abide in the true vine or not, and the Father, who's the vine dresser, will come and break off those branches. Kyle, what is the Father going to do in verse 2?
Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit.
And we're to be abiding in who in verse 4?
Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. So, neither can you unless you abide in me.
Abide. Now, what happens if you don't abide in verse 6?
If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned.
Hmm. Now, see, a lot of people will be like, oh, but you don't understand. You see, I do abide. Abide is to confess Jesus as your Lord. And so he's referring to the people who don't do that. Well, no. So he's breaking off the branches that aren't abiding. These are branches that were grafted in. He's going to break them off. You see, remember, in Jesus, there is no sin. No one who abides in him sins. How can you say you're abiding in him and you're still sinning? You see, he wants us to prove that we're his disciples. How do you prove that you're his disciple in verse 8?
My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples.
And what are we to be doing?
Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love.
What does it mean to abide in his love?
If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. That's pretty much straightforward there, folks. You cannot twist those words.
And then people will try to say, oh, but he's talking about love. I do love. I'm like, listen, sinners who get cast into hell have agape love. But you need to understand what it means to love as God defines it. Love the greatest commandment, to love your neighbor as yourself, which you've done episodes on that.
Yeah.
And a lot of that, you find the definition in Romans chapter 13, verse 8 through 12, where basically says to love is you no longer break the law. You don't break the law, you don't do any wrong to your neighbor. When you don't do wrong to your neighbor, you don't sin against your neighbor. When you aren't sinning against your neighbor, then you can claim that you're loving as Christ loved.
Well,
then,
and the words even here, though, in John 15:10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love.
And
he's telling us
how he did
what to do.
Follow his example.
That's right. He didn't sin. He's expecting us to do the same.
And you are my friends if you do what I command you. Kyle, there are so many people who think they're friends of Jesus. The problem is they don't meet that conditional if because they never came into the true power of God, because they never came in the true faith of what God says he wanted and what he requires, because they didn't come into the true grace of God, because they never had the true grace of God taught or preached to them of what Peter taught in 1 Peter. And most people can't quote anything from that about the grace of God because they don't know it, Kyle, because it's not being taught. And yet somehow they have confidence in their faith that's being promulgated by the devil, preaching Christ, a gospel, and the Holy Spirit, but not in truth.
That's right.
And these people are going to perish. They're going to burn under the consuming fire of God because they never came into the truth. Back to Jeremiah chapter 5. And so, because they are trusting in these lying, false words, believing that this calamity will not come upon them. That's when he said, verse 14.
Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of hosts, because you have spoken this word, behold, I am making my words in your mouth fire, and this people wood, and it will consume them.
That's right. And so then he goes and he talks about how he's going to bring a nation from the north against them to destroy them. And this was the prophesying of Babylon that would come upon them. And God says that when they ask and people say, why has Yahweh our God done all these things to us? And God's going to accuse them of forsaking him. And what does he say to declare to them in verse 20? I'll just go ahead and start reading from verse 20.
Declare this in the house of Jacob and proclaim it in Judah, saying, now hear this, O foolish and senseless people, who have eyes but do not see, who have ears but do not hear. Do you not fear me, declares the Lord? Do you not tremble in my presence? For I have placed the sand as a boundary for the seas, an eternal decree so it cannot cross over it. Though the waves toss, yet they cannot prevail. Though they roar, yet they cannot cross over it. But this people has a stubborn and rebellious heart. They have turned aside and departed. They do not say in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God, who gives rain in its season, both the autumn rain and the spring rain, who keeps for us the appointed weeks of the harvest. Your iniquities have turned these away, and your sins have withheld good from you.
You see, people are missing the point of the gospel message. It's to be not just have your sins forgiven. Jesus died for the sins of the whole world, but not everybody benefits. Because not everybody comes to get the new heart and the new spirit so they can walk in the ways of Christ and abide in holiness and righteousness that God so desperately desires. And that's why he gives us his spirit. But people, again, have turned God's word into a lie. And there are many wicked people who go around and claim the name of the Lord, Kyle.
For wicked men are found among my people. They watch like fowlers lying in wait. They set a trap. They catch men like a cage full of birds. So their houses are full of deceit. Therefore, they have become great and rich.
Yeah, there are. There's a lot of people who set traps and they catch men and they hold them hostage to sin, promising them freedom while they themselves are slaves of corruption, thinking that they have hope in Jesus Christ, but yet they still cannot overcome sin in their life. Ever trying, getting ever so close, but never able to reach it, and yet they falsely believe that somehow that they are becoming more holy, when yet sin is still in them and they can't be cleansed. Failing to heed the words of Christ that says you cannot have any leaven in you. You cannot have any darkness in you. You cannot have any bitterness in you. You cannot have any of those things. But they refuse, Kyle, because they trust in deceptive words.
And they like to go to the pretty cages, Sam, and listen to the words and songs that tickle their ears.
They do. And yet an appalling thing has happened, Kyle. A terrible, terrible, appalling thing has happened, and people love it. What is this appalling thing, O Kyle, that is happening?
And horrible thing has happened in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests rule on their own authority.
Because it's not the authority of God, so they falsely claim.
And my people love it so.
The people love it. The people love it because it allows them to continue to live their life of weakness without accountability.
But listen to this, people. What will you do at the end of it?
That's right, because God has already told you his fire is going to consume you. His fire is going to consume you. Then what are you going to do? You're done. You're done. You've sealed your fate.
Oh, but Sam, these are hard words. They're harsh. They're hard to understand.
I know. And you know, Kyle, they refuse to accept correction and they don't understand that this is the word. This is the truth. You see, if you truly believe that there's going to be a judgment of hell, then the people who are truly loving and truly care for you and speak the message of God, then they're going to warn you and tell you what path you're on.
That's right.
They aren't going to tickle your ears. They aren't going to encourage you when you're still walking on the path and the highway to hell. Okay, no, that's what the devil wants to do, and that's what the workers of the devil do. They want you to think you have peace with God. In reality, your life is being set on fire by hell. Kyle, chapter 7. This people, they're going to be consumed by the fire of God. What are they doing in chapter 7? What are they going to do in chapter 7, verse 1 and 2?
The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word and say, hear the word of the Lord, all you of Judah, who enter by these gates to worship the Lord.
Kyle, the message is the people who think they serve God. The message is the people who are going to the, quote, church to serve and worship God.
Are you listening?
These are the people that God wants to declare a message. And what does he say this people's trusting in, Kyle?
Thus says the Lord God, Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your deeds, and I will let you dwell in this place. Do not trust in deceptive words, saying, this is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. For if you truly amend your ways and your deeds, if you truly practice justice between a man and his neighbor, if you do not oppress the alien, the orphan, or the widow, and do not shed innocent blood in this place, nor walk after other gods to your own ruin, then I will let you dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever.
But the people wouldn't listen, Kyle, because they wanted to continue to trust in their deceptive words.
That's right.
Kyle, they would not repent. They would not turn. And so in chapter 8, verse 3, what does God say this people is going to end up choosing? Even though the people think they're serving God, even though the people think they're choosing life, does God agree with them?
And death will be chosen rather than life by all the remnant that remains of this evil family, that remains in all the places to which I have driven them, declares the Lord of hosts. You shall say to them, thus says the Lord, do men fall and not get up again? Does one turn away and not repent? Why then has this people, Jerusalem, turned away in continued apostasy? They hold fast to deceit. They refuse to return. Sam, they refuse to return.
That's what God says, Kyle.
I have listened and heard. They have spoken what is not right.
Kyle, there are so many people today that speak what is not right in the eyes of God.
No man repented of his wickedness.
That's the problem, Kyle. They promise these people freedom, while they themselves are slaves of sin.
Saying, what have I done?
And nobody can be freed of their sin.
Everyone turned to his course, like a horse charging into the battle.
Kyle, what did the leaders of the people do to God's word in verse 8?
How can you say, we are wise, and the law of the Lord is with us? But behold, the lying pen of the scribes has made it into a lie.
Kyle, and that's unfortunately what happens. That is what happens today. It happened then. It happened today. It's the deceit that the devil works. The devil hasn't stopped. The devil hasn't changed his ways. If ye can get the people to believe in God, to believe that they're his people, to think it's okay that we're always going to have some problems, but as long as you continue to turn to God and worship and serve him, then you'll be okay. That's the lie of the devil, Kyle.
Yeah.
And yet it's not being exposed. It is not being exposed, but we will expose it. Because we serve God
right.
With power and truth and holiness and righteousness.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
Turn over to Jeremiah chapter 11. In Jeremiah chapter 11, oh, God wants to bless us as a beautiful, fruitful, bountiful tree. But Kyle, if we can't yield the good fruit, God's fire is going to come and consume. Mm-hmm. What does he say in verse 16?
Verse 16. The Lord called your name, a green olive tree, beautiful in fruit and form. With the noise of a great tumult, he has kindled fire on it, and its branches are worthless.
You see? That's what God's going to do. Now, when you back up and you say, okay, why is God saying this? What is the deal? Well, back in chapter 11, verse 4, God says what he wants them to do. Now, this covenant that he made with them, go ahead and read verse, read verse 1 through 5.
Okay. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, hear the words of this covenant and speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and say to them, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, cursed is the man who does not heed the words of this covenant, which I commanded your forefathers in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt from the iron furnace, saying, listen to my voice.
Listen to God's voice.
And do according to all which I command you.
Obey his commands.
So you shall be my people, and I will be your God.
Only if you listen to his voice, only if you keep his commandments.
In order to confirm the oath which I swore to your forefathers, to give them a land flowing with milk and honey, as it is this day.
And again, in verse 7, God warned them again, saying what?
For I solemnly warned your fathers in the day that I brought them up from the land of Egypt, even to this day, warning persistently, saying, listen to my voice.
Listen to God's voice. Kyle, did the people listen?
They did not obey or incline their ear, but walked each one in the stubbornness of his evil heart.
Continuing to believe what they wanted to believe, not listening to the words of rebuke and a call to repentance.
Therefore, I brought on them all the words of this covenant which I commanded them to do, but they did not.
So what does God say has happened?
Then the Lord said to me, a conspiracy has been found among the men of Judah and among the inhabitants of Jerusalem. They have turned back to the iniquities of their ancestors, who refused to hear my words, and they have gone after other gods to serve them. The house of Israel and the house of Judah have broken my covenant, which I made with their fathers.
And so, that's when God says,
behold, I am bringing disaster on them, which they will not be able to escape. Though they will cry to me, yet I will not listen to them.
Does he say to pray for this people in verse 14?
Therefore, do not pray for this people, nor lift up a cry or prayer for them.
Is God going to listen to their prayer if they do?
For I will not listen when they call to me because of their disaster.
So even though they believe in God, they trust in God to ask for help when this disaster comes, God says, no, I'm not going to help. You don't understand. This is from my own hand. You see, God called. He wants you to bear fruit, but you didn't. So he has kindled fire. You, in the eyes of God, are the worthless branch. You will be broken off. You will be cast into the fire. Is that what you want? Well, again, the only way to escape is to stop trusting these deceptive lying words. Accept the words of God and fall on your face in fear and humility and repentance. And beseech God of heaven and earth for the new heart and the new spirit which you do not possess. And stop claiming to be God's friend when you're still his enemy. And God would accuse you of being a friend of the devil and not him. It's very simple. It comes down to what do you believe? And what do you think God is going to say about you? I want to look at some other passages still in Jeremiah. Let's turn over to Jeremiah chapter 15. In Jeremiah chapter 15, in verse 14, what does God say he's going to do again?
Then I will cause your enemies to bring it into a land you do not know. For a fire has been kindled in my anger. It will burn upon you.
God's fire is going to burn upon you. His anger. Oh, but people want to be refined by the fire of God, Kyle, because they're in ignorance. They don't know about the full truth about God's refining fire, him being a consuming fire.
That's right.
God doesn't want to. That's the last resort when people don't come into repentance, Kyle.
Yep.
God first calls you to repentance. That's what he wants to do.
Amen.
He wants you to repent to save your life. When you don't repent, and you then get to the point of being refined by the fire of God, that's because you were rebellious and stubborn. You'll be accused of not being his people, or his people, but a rebellious and stubborn one. And he's going to consume you.
That rebellious son of Isaiah 1.
Kyle, it doesn't matter who is standing for them. Yeah. Who pleads their case. What does he say about it in chapter 15, verse 1 and 2? Does it matter who tries to plead for this people?
Then the Lord said to me, even though Moses and Samuel were to stand before me, my heart would not be with this people. Send them away from my presence and let them go.
Well, Kyle, if he's going to send them away, where is he going to send them to?
And it shall be that when they say to you, where should we go? Then you are to tell them, thus says the Lord, those destined for death to death, and those destined for the sword to the sword, and those destined for famine to famine, and those destined for captivity to captivity. I will appoint over them four kinds of doom, declares the Lord, the sword to slay, the dogs to drag off, and the birds of the sky and the beasts of the earth to devour and destroy.
Kyle, he's going to destroy his people that cry out to him, that believe in him? Yes, that's what he's going to do, Kyle.
Yeah, because in verse 6, you who have forsaken me, declares the Lord, you keep going backward. So I will stretch out my hand against you and destroy you. I am tired of relenting.
Now see, some people think, oh, but I'm not going backwards. I'm going forward because I'm producing sin in my life. I'm like, are you so foolish and ignorant to think that God, when he says, I will cleanse you from all sin, that that's not what it means? You see, it's the devil that wants you to think that you can do good through your convictions, but be deceived in your mind, not realizing that you still do the work of the devil because of sin that's in your heart that you can't get rid of. You're trying so hard, yet you can't overcome. And why are you trying? You see, that's works of the law, that no man will ever be justified in the sight of God, because you don't have power. You don't have the Spirit in the new heart. So God's tired of relenting with this people. So he's going to winnow them.
Yeah.
How is he going to winnow and separate, Kyle?
I will winnow them with a winnowing fork. At the gates of the land, I will bereave them of children. I will destroy my people. They did not repent of their ways.
Because they did not repent of their deeds. You see, repenting of your deeds isn't just agreeing with God. That's what a lot of liars say. Okay, that's one of the lies of the devil. Oh, just agree with God what he says about your sin, that you agree with God that sin is bad. No, you see, atheists agree that sin is bad. They still sin, just like a lot of these false Christians. No, true repentance is turning, not by man's effort or trying. If you're trying to turn, well, you've already failed. You're trying. I hear so many pastors say, well, you should try to do this, and you should do this and do that. No, that's the efforts of man. You see, that's the works of the law that can never save a man, because you never found the true grace of God, the power of God that crushes, destroys, removes. So you now walk and abide in holiness. These are the subtle deceptions that the devil wants you to believe in and not come to the full truth. You never found the true repentance of God. We did several episodes on repentance. Go listen to God's word and understand what it means to truly repent. How God defines it. From the old and the new, it doesn't change. Both Old and New Testaments, the word of God is consistent and firm. God does not change, nor does his word.
Right.
Question is, are you going to submit and accept it? You see, God says why he gave up his people. Why he gave up them and all their wealth. What does he say in verse 13 as you keep reading, Kyle?
Your wealth and your treasures I will give for booty without cost.
Why?
Even for all your sins and with all your borders.
Because of their sins, Kyle.
Yeah.
And again, his fire.
Then I will cause your enemies to bring it into a land you do not know. For a fire has been kindled in my anger. It will burn upon you.
Now, Jeremiah was different. You see, Jeremiah accepted the words of God. Jeremiah spoke the words of God, even though the church of the day persecuted him. What does Jeremiah say as he speaks to God?
You who know, O Lord, remember me. Take notice of me and take vengeance for me on my persecutors. Do not in view of your patience take me away. Know that for your sake I endure a reproach. Your words were found, and I ate them.
You see, he accepted the words of God, unlike many people, Kyle. Many people are hearing this message, and they're getting angrier rejecting it because they refuse to eat and feed on the words of God.
And your words became for me a joy and the delight of my heart, for I have been called by your name, O Lord God of hosts.
See, Jeremiah didn't go around sinning, and he didn't go sit in the company of sinners.
I did not sit in the circle of merrymakers, nor did I exult. Because of your hand upon me, I sat alone. For you filled me with indignation.
You know, the Spirit of God does that many times, Kyle. When you're around the bunch of hypocrites, His Spirit will move and fill with indignation.
That's right.
It was the same way Jesus reacted when He was around all the hypocrites. He'd be filled with anger.
Why?
He would speak very harsh words, condemning the people, saying, "Woe to you, you hypocrites, you blind, you murderers." When He would go into His temple and see all the hypocrites and how they served and worship His Father, He would throw their tables and pour out their money and make whips and drive them out. That was the indignation of the Spirit of God, Kyle.
That's right.
And most people don't understand that, yes, there's a mercy and a compassion of God to call people to repentance. But when you arrogantly think that you have peace with God and you don't beat your chest, realizing you're still a wretched sinner condemned to hell, then God's Spirit is going to be against you just like it has been from the Old to the New Testament. God does not change. So, but God wants them to turn. God wants people to return. What does He say in verse 19?
Therefore, thus says the Lord, if you return.
If. It's a conditional if.
Then I will restore you.
You have to return to the true words of God.
Before me you will stand, and if you extract the precious from the worthless.
See, you have to separate. You have to separate the sinners from the righteous. You can't continue to call everything good when it's not good in the eyes of God. Stop lying. Make a distinguishment and separate the evil, the chaff.
You will become my spokesman. They, for their part, may turn to you, but as for you, you must not turn to them.
See, we can lead false leaders to the truth, but we cannot turn back to their false teaching ways.
That's right. Then I will make you to this people a fortified wall of bronze.
Why does He have to make him a fortified wall of bronze, Kyle?
And though they fight against you...
Because they're going to fight against the message. That's why, Kyle.
They will not prevail over you.
Because God's word is sure and firm, and the power of God demonstrates with signs, wonders, and miracles, just like He did with Christ.
For I am with you to save you and deliver you, declares the Lord. So I will deliver you from the hand of the wicked, and I will redeem you from the grasp of the violent.
Amen. All right, so in Lamentations chapter 2, Kyle, we're going to go through several passages here. First, I want you to read about this fire in verse 3. What does it say about it?
In fierce anger, He has cut off all the strength of Israel. He has drawn back His right hand from before the enemy, and He has burned in Jacob like a flaming fire, consuming round about.
Yes, God is a consuming fire, Kyle.
Yep.
The problem is He's consuming His own people. So let's figure out and understand, why is this happening? Kyle, start in verse 1 and read from verse 1 to verse 5 of Lamentations chapter 2.
How the Lord has covered the daughter of Zion with a cloud in His anger. He has cast from heaven to earth the glory of Israel, and has not remembered His footstool in the day of His anger. The Lord has swallowed up. He has not spared all the habitations of Jacob. In His wrath, He has thrown down the strongholds of the daughter of Judah. He has brought them down to the ground. He has profaned the kingdom and its princes. In fierce anger, He has cut off all the strength of Israel. He has drawn back His right hand from before the enemy, and He has burned in Jacob like a flaming fire, consuming round about.
You know, Kyle, I sit there and I just reflect on that. This is God's fierce anger, His wrath, that He's pouring apart or upon His own people. I mean, people, you really need to think about this. This is the nature of God. God doesn't change.
Is this sin.
The God that you know of? Is this the God that you're aware of?
God hates sin.
That has a fierce anger that He's going to pour off on His people. Is this the God that you know? Well, then I'll tell you right now, then you don't trust in the one true God, because he is a wrathful, vengeful God that will consider you his adversary and enemy when you don't come into repentance and you think you can have peace with God, and yet you still have sin in your life.
He has bent his bow like an enemy.
Like an enemy.
He has
an enemy against you.
He has set his right hand like an adversary and slain all that were pleasant to the eye. In the tent of the daughter of Zion, he has poured out his wrath like fire.
Like a fire.
The Lord has become like an enemy. He has swallowed up Israel. He has swallowed up all its palaces. He has destroyed its strongholds and multiplied in the daughter of Judah mourning and moaning.
And so he's done this, Kyle, but he wants to heal. But what's the problem? As you read in verse 13 and verse 14.
How shall I admonish you? To what shall I compare you, O daughter of Jerusalem? To what shall I liken you as I comfort you, O virgin daughter of Zion? For your ruin is as vast as the sea. Who can heal you? Your prophets have seen for you false and foolish visions, and they have not exposed your iniquity. That's the job of a prophet right there, Sam.
That's right, Kyle. It's the job of the leader.
So as to restore you from captivity, but they have seen for you false and misleading oracles.
You know, Kyle, and this is the problem. The leaders. Kyle, much of the people today, they're where they're at right now because of their leaders. Whether it was a parent, a pastor, a priest, a bishop, whoever it was, Kyle, in their life, they were led with false words. And they didn't tell them the truth about their sin. They gave them a half-truth that you had to receive forgiveness of your sin and the penalty paid. But they never told them the requirement that God requires you to be cleansed of all sin, to be freed from it, and for it to be destroyed out of your life. They never taught them the truth about spiritual baptism. They never taught them the truth and turned their hand from sin.
Yep.
No, they didn't, Kyle. And, you know, that's what Jeremiah talks about in Jeremiah chapter 23 about the false teachers who don't know how to turn people away from sin. It's a false mirage. People think that they're turning from sin as it slowly goes down in their life, but it still lives in their heart. They still commit sin.
They think they're covered.
And they think they're different.
They think they're covered with some kind of cloak, Sam.
Oh, they're hypocrites, Kyle.
Yeah.
They're hypocrites. God rejects them, and they won't accept his rejection of them.
Guess what, folks? The Spirit of God doesn't cause you to commit sin. If you're still sinning, you're not a son. You're an imposter.
Next, Kyle, we're going to go over to Amos. And I want to look at a couple passages in Amos, and then we'll finish up. In Amos chapter 2, verse 4 and 5, why is God bringing punishment upon Judah?
Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Judah and for four, I will not revoke its punishment, because they rejected the law of the Lord and have not kept his statutes. Their lies also have led them astray. Those after which their fathers walked.
So what's God going to do?
So I will send fire upon Judah, and it will consume the citadels of Jerusalem.
Our God truly is a consuming fire. If you don't repent, you're in trouble. And again, in chapter 3, verse 1 through 2, why does he punish?
Chapter 3, verses 1 through 2. Hear this word which the Lord has spoken against you, sons of Israel, against the entire family which he brought up from the land of Egypt.
All the people that he ransomed with the blood of the lamb and brought them out of Egypt, he is against them. Why?
You only have I chosen among all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquities.
Punish them for their iniquities, and that's the problem, Kyle. And yet he goes on and talks about the prophets, how they lie and they don't speak the things of God, because they don't know him. Yeah. Now, next, I want you to turn over to chapter 4. In chapter 4, Kyle, if you will read verse 4 through verse 12.
Enter Bethel and transgress. In Gilgal, multiply transgression. Bring your sacrifices every morning, your tithes every 3 days. Offer a thank offering also from that which is leavened, and proclaim free will offerings, make them known. For so you love to do, you sons of Israel, declares the Lord God.
Now, a lot of people, when you just heard that verse 4 and 5, did you catch what God is actually saying to this people? Did you catch what the people are doing? You see, Kyle, Bethel was one of the places in Gilgal they'd go to serve and worship God.
Mm-hmm. Bethel in Hebrew actually means the house of God.
And so these are people who are going to the house of the Lord to worship, to worship God. But Kyle, God is almost like mocking them.
Yeah.
As they're entering in to serve God.
Bring your leavened offering.
He's talking about their transgression, right?
Yep.
Enter Bethel and transgress. And Gilgal, multiply transgression. So he's basically saying, oh, so you think you can just come and enter the place of God to continue to multiply your sins? That's what you think you're going to do? You think that you're going to bring your sacrifices before me and your tithes? But he already pointed out what the issue is. It's their sin.
Yep.
You see, and they think that God's going to accept it. He's like, no, no, you love to do this. You love to come and worship before me, but you think you can continue to bring your sin with you? Nope. So what does he continue to say as you keep reading in verse 6?
But I gave you also cleanness of teeth in all your cities and lack of bread in all your places.
Oh, so God... Now, some people may be like, okay, I'm not following. What does he mean? Is he talking about brushing teeth? No. No. What is he talking about, Kyle? Do you see what he's talking about? He's talking about famine. He's talking about there's no food. The reason why your teeth are clean, because you have no food to eat. The reason why you have lack of bread in your cities is because you have not returned to me, declares Yahweh.
Amen.
See, God is bringing that upon you to try to get your attention.
But furthermore, I withheld the rain from you while there were still 3 months until harvest. Then I would send rain on one city, and on another city I would not send rain. One part would be rained on, while the part not rained on would dry up.
See, God was compassionate. He didn't just immediately plunge everybody into a calamity. He kind of took their turns like a round robin, right? He would hit this city. Then he'd hit this one. And the other ones have to go to the other one. So it's not like they all immediately perished. They still had some support. It was just an inconvenience. But he's trying to get their attention. But Kyle, did that work?
No. So two or three cities would stagger to another city to drink water, but would not be satisfied. Yet you have not returned to me, declares the Lord.
And see, but yet they're going, Kyle, this is the irony. They would be saying, what do you mean, God? We're coming to your house of worship to serve you, to give you our offerings, to give you our tithes. God, why are you saying we haven't returned to you? We're worshiping you. Because, Kyle, it's just like today. Yep. People don't know what it means to repent in the eyes of God. They have lost sight, and they don't understand how God defines repentance. So God continues. What else did he do to them?
I smote you with scorching wind and mildew, and the caterpillar was devouring your many gardens and vineyards, fig trees and olive trees. Yet you have not returned to me, declares the Lord.
Not returned, but yet they were still going to worship. They would have said they had returned.
I sent a plague among you, after the manner of Egypt. I slew your young men by the sword, along with your captured horses. And I made the stench of your camp rise up in your nostrils. Yet you have not returned to me, declares the Lord. I overthrew you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and you were like a firebrand snatched from a blaze. Yet you have not returned to me, declares the Lord. Therefore, thus I will do to you, O Israel, because I will do this to you. Prepare to meet your God, O Israel.
There you go. You see, people don't understand When God says, prepare to meet your maker, you are done. Because you did not return to him the way God requires a person to return to him. In chapter 5, as you continue, in verse 1 through verse 7, God, what does he say?
Hear this word which I take up for you as a dirge, O house of Israel. She has fallen. She will not rise again. The virgin of Israel, she lies neglected on her land. There is none to raise her up. For thus says the Lord God, the city will go, which goes forth 1,000 strong will have 100 left, and the one which goes forth 100 strong will have 10 left to the house of Israel. For thus says the Lord to the house of Israel, seek me that you may live.
But the irony is, Kyle, they were going to the places of worship. They would have said, what do you mean? We are seeking you. Kyle, it's not in truth.
Here it is. But do not resort to Bethel, and do not come to Gilgal, nor cross over to Beersheba, for Gilgal will certainly go into captivity, and Bethel will come to trouble. Seek the Lord that you may live.
And what happens if you don't, Kyle?
Or he will break forth like a fire.
Oh, there's that fire again.
O house of Joseph, and it will consume with none to quench it for Bethel.
That's what God's fire does.
For those who turn justice into wormwood and cast righteousness down to the earth.
You see, that's what God is going to accuse this people of, Kyle. Not practicing justice and not practicing righteousness. Oh, but they'll say they practice righteousness. No. No, not as God does. He'll accuse you of casting down righteousness because you're a hypocrite. As you keep reading, what does he say in verse 10?
They hate him who reproves in the gate, and they abhor him who speaks with integrity.
You see, just as Jeremiah and the true prophets spoke the truth, they hate it when they hear the words of God.
Right.
Kyle, there are some people that absolutely hate and burn with anger when they hear me speak. They accuse me of all sorts of things. You're judging. You're judgmental. You aren't compassionate. This isn't the ways of God. I said, no, this is the way of God. This is his truth. This is the way of mercy and compassion that God wants to pour out upon you, but it can only be under God's terms, not man's,
right.
Not the devil's terms, that the devil's filled all the churches with his propaganda.
You have to come and repent.
Yeah, you do. As you keep reading and starting in verse 12, what does he say? What's their problem, Kyle? What does God know?
For I know your transgressions are many and your sins are great. You who distress the righteous and accept bribes and turn aside the poor in the gate. Therefore, at such a time, the prudent person keeps silent, for it is an evil time. Seek good and not evil, that you may live.
That's how you live.
And thus may the Lord God of hosts be with you, just as you have said. Hate evil, love good, and establish justice in the gate. Perhaps the Lord God of hosts may be gracious to the remnant of Joseph.
Now, Kyle, he just told the people the problem is their sins.
Yep. He told them to seek.
And then he says to seek good,
yep,
and not evil, that you might live. But what does he say, this very people that he's speaking against, what are the very people who he's going to destroy? What is it that those people are saying that we just read? You would think that they're like, well, Sam, they agree with you. They're preaching the message of God. Look at what they preach in verse 15.
Hate evil, love good, and establish justice in the gate.
Now, isn't that what people would say is the message, right? We're to hate evil. We're to love good. We're to practice or establish this justice and righteousness of God. Kyle, they're proclaiming these things. Not only that, they're saying that's how we get Yahweh, the God of hosts, to be gracious to us, by doing those things, to hate evil, to love good, to establish and practice this justice and righteousness of God, that's how you find favor with God. Kyle, do you see how they're preaching the same, the correct thing?
They're attempting to.
But yet God doesn't accept them because he's like, yeah, but I still know your sins. Your sins are still before me. You're still sinning. How can you say that you hate evil and you do good? How can you say that you're that man that was converted in the righteous man with a new heart and the new spirit? They can't say that, Kyle, yep. Because they weren't. But they think they are. They think they have peace with God. They're saying some of the right things. Kyle, they're hypocrites. They don't know. And it's no different with the church today. Much of this false church today.
Yep.
So what does God say? In verse 16.
Therefore, thus says the Lord, God of hosts, the Lord, there is wailing in all the plazas, and in all the streets they say, alas, alas. They also call the farmer to mourning, and professional mourners to lamentation. And in all the vineyards there is wailing, because I will pass through the midst of you, says the Lord.
So they're calling for wailing. They're calling for pleading. They still think God is with them. Not only that, they're like, oh, we'll wait for the day of the Lord to come. Right, the day of the Lord, he'll rescue us. What does God say to these people who are falsely trusting in the day of the Lord?
Alas, you who are longing for the day of the Lord, for what purpose will the day of the Lord be to you? It will be darkness and not light.
You see, the people think that it was going to be light for them. And God's like, no, it's not going to be darkness. Why do you want the day of the Lord to come? It's going to be darkness for you, not light. You see how blind these people are? And it's the same today with the church, Kyle.
As when a man flees from a lion and a bear meets him, or goes home, leans his hand against the wall, and a snake bites him. Will not the day of the Lord be darkness instead of light?
It's not going to be light for them, Kyle. It's going to be darkness, even though they think it's going to be light.
Even gloom with no brightness in it.
Because does God like their celebrations as they come to worship before him?
I reject your festivals, nor do I delight in your solemn assembly.
Does he accept their offerings?
Even though you offer up to me burnt offerings and your grain offerings, I will not accept them, and I will not even look at your peace offerings.
What about their songs of worship?
Take away from me the noise of your songs. I will not even listen to the sound of your harps.
Because there's only one thing that God wants.
But let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream.
Kyle, it's just like God always says, practice justice and righteousness. Yep. Practice justice and righteousness. But you see, the man who doesn't get the new heart and the new spirit, when he tries to do that, it becomes contaminated and dirty with sin because sin was never removed. He never came to the true grace of God. So we'll end with this. From a passage from the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 22. Verse 11 to verse 12.
Let the one who does wrong still do wrong, and the one who is filthy still be filthy. And let the one who is righteous still practice righteousness, and the one who is holy still keep himself holy. Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to render to every man according to what he has done.
According to his deeds, his works, his ergon. Oh, Father, I pray that people are listening. There is one person who does wrong. That person still does wrong. That person is filthy. They continue to be filthy. There's so many people who don't understand that the wrongdoer, the sinner, is still filthy. The person has not been cleansed from all unrighteousness. They have not been cleansed from all sin, which is your promise. They cannot walk and practice righteousness because they are not righteous, just as you and your son are. Yet they falsely think that they're no longer the wrongdoer. They falsely think that they're no longer the filthy one. They falsely think they are a righteous person when they can't practice righteousness. They can't keep themselves holy, even though they try. because they have no power and no spirit of God to help them overcome. Father, convict them of their sin in their life. Convict them of the works of the devil that still dwells within them. Convict them and let them know, O God, that they do not abide in you. They're trusting in deceptive words, and your fire will be kindled. Your fire will consume. O Father, I pray that they will repent so that they might not be consumed by your fire of wrath. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
If you enjoyed the program, consider subscribing and sharing with your friends. Thanks for listening.